Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
3, 2, 1. Why does the air feel so heavy the second the ball drops?
Right.
It's not just excitement. It's, right. It feels like the whole world just took this collective pressurized breath and just waited.
That feeling, yeah. that sense of sudden, almost overwhelming temporal gravity, that's the perfect starting point for this deep dive.
Okay.
Because we're looking at a stack of sources today that take the most globally synchronized event on the calendar, New Year's Eve, and just completely reframe it.
So forget the party favors and the champagne.
Exactly. Forget all that. According to this material, what the world calls a celebration is, in reality, a synchronization protocol.
Okay, let's unpack this because that's a huge claim.
Mm.
The core idea here is, I mean, it's both paranoid and
and
meticulously detailed.
It is.
The massive global New Year's countdown is not a tradition for tradition's sake.
No.
It's the ultimate annual system check. So our mission today is to analyze these sources, trace this precise step-by-step causal chain that, well, that allegedly manages reality every single year.
And we're going to follow the process from the moment the ball drops.
All the way through the memory wipe, the data transfer. And right to that foggy feeling the next morning.
And the whole premise, it really hinges on this massive expenditure of energy that, you know, typically just goes completely unnoticed.
You have to ask the question right. Why do 7 billion people need to lock their consciousness, their focus, their anticipation onto the exact same second?
That level of focused global human attention, it's described by these sources as a critical raw resource.
Like a natural resource.
A vast distributed computational power that this protocol claims to harness annually.
So we're following an operating procedure, a sequence of programmed triggers. It feels, I mean, it suggests a full system reset, just neatly disguised as a globally sanctioned party.
It sounds less like a party and more like mandatory maintenance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's the ultimate bait and switch, the sheer joy, the emotional release of the celebration that ensures we participate willingly, enthusiastically even.
In something the system just sees as a necessary mechanism.
Right. To maintain the stability of the simulated reality we inhabit, that heavy air you mentioned, at 0 hour.
Yeah.
The sources identify that as the immediate localized pressure of the system initializing the render cycle transition. The temporal anchor is dropping.
Wow. Okay, so let's start right there. That initial requirement of attention.
Mm-hmm.
The source material is very, very clear. This is not about a nice tradition. It's about a necessary focal point for the entire systemic framework.
It needs those billions of pairs of eyes.
All are focused, all counting down together to lock the simulation.
And the lock requires absolute precision. I mean, think about it. A celebration allows for subjective timing, right? You celebrate when you feel it.
Sure.
But a critical protocol that requires adherence to a single precise input moment. The sheer scale is what creates the required energy signature.
So without that collective, instantaneous agreement on 0 hour,
the simulation, we're told, would suffer from critical instability. Human consciousness, unified in that anticipation, is essentially being leveraged as a massive, globally distributed clock synchronization signal.
The anticipation is the fuel.
Yes.
The collective holding of breath for those final 10 seconds, that's the energy signature the system is harvesting.
It's making sure that every individual processor, meaning, you know, every person, is focused on the same temporal coordinates at the same time.
So the celebration is just the motivational structure. The real requirement is the focus, the attention itself.
And what's fascinating here is how the sources move from that. That abstract concept of focused attention to the specific physical hardware required to anchor it.
Which brings us right to the Times Square ball.
Exactly. This object, which we all see as a symbol of festivity, is described in these documents as critical system architecture. It is explicitly not a decoration.
The source gives a very specific, almost technical description of this hardware.
It does.
It's a massive geodesic sphere covered in thousands of crystal triangles. And if you stop seeing it as just a shiny object and start seeing it as a device,
then the geometric precision suddenly seems very intentional.
Right. It's designed to catch and refract light across this huge area, creating a visual dominance.
The geometry is absolutely key. Geodesic spheres, like the ones Buckminster Fuller designed, they're symbols of complexity, of structural resilience, global integration.
And the crystals, they're not just for sparkle.
No, they're described as functioning to focus the human collective gaze into an intense beam of centralized attention. It's designed to be mesmerizing.
Precisely because its actual function is way more critical than just looking pretty.
It's a psychic focusing lens.
A psychic focusing lens.
Yeah.
So what does this massive focal lens actually do at the moment of 0 hour? We keep using this term temporal anchor. I think we need to break that down.
This is where the most evocative yet technical metaphor from the source material comes in. The temporal anchor is designed to, and this is a quote, drag the simulation into the next render cycle.
Okay.
Think of reality like a massively multiplayer online game that's running constantly. Every second is a frame, and every year is a massive annual patch and a render jump.
Wait, a render cycle transition. Does that mean reality, like, stops for a moment? Or is it a seamless shift?
The goal is seamlessness, but the mechanics behind it are violent. A system needs a hard anchor point.
The time square ball.
Energized by global attention, yes, to prevent the timeline from drifting during that massive data load.
What happens if it drifts?
Well, if different regions or different groups of people transitioned into the new year at slightly different internal rates or speeds, you'd get what the source calls desynchronization.
Desynchronization. I'm picturing minor reality glitches, like objects moving or disappearing or physics behaving inconsistently.
Exactly.
Things that would immediately break the illusion of stability.
See, if the timeline drifts, the system breaks down into chaos. This annual ritual isn't about simply marking time. It's about forcing 7 billion separate cognitive systems to keep time together.
So the ball is the global physical manifestation of the clock face. It makes sure that even if my watch is a second off or the TV broadcast is delayed,
the collective consciousness agrees on the point of synchronization. It ensures the framework is stable for the transition into the next year's computational parameter.
So the famous Times Square ball drop isn't just a spectacle. It's the moment the collective consciousness is harvested to power the hard reset, locking reality down for its annual firmware update.
That is a truly staggering level of engineering hiding in plain sight.
And that scale of engineering, I mean, it would require some kind of organizational structure to manage it.
Of course. And moving deeper into the mechanics of who is performing this function, the source introduces a specific agency. We move from the physical hardware to the organizational structure, Project Janus.
The name itself seems to perfectly give away the mission. Janus, the Roman god of beginnings, transitions, endings.
Always depicted with two faces.
One looking forward, one looking backward.
Mm.
So they are explicitly managing the bridge between cycles.
They are the gatekeepers of the temporal transition. And their critical immediate function during the countdown is locking the reality frame rate. This is the heart of the whole operation.
The reality frame rate.
The source explicitly states that without the focused attention and the subsequent anchor lock, reality would desynchronize, leading to catastrophic system instability. The entire goal is stability.
And it's achieved by leveraging us. Human consciousness is the primary resource.
We are the system stabilizers, forced to participate in our own maintenance.
So the frame rate lock ensures a consistent speed and flow to reality.
Hmm.
If that rate were to fluctuate, even by a millisecond,
the resulting inconsistency might manifest as a major global event, or maybe just 1,000 small localized anomalies that build up over time.
It's a clean handoff from frame rate 2025 to frame rate 2026.
And what's critical here is how they achieve this. The system doesn't rely on brute force or, you know, some mandatory legal compliance.
No, it designs a cultural spectacle.
A spectacle that guarantees our willing, joyous participation. And this is where the Inspector Index case files become essential.
Because they illustrate this principle of control hiding in plain sight, the system training the participant to perform a function without their awareness.
Let's bring in the first analog, which the source calls the collector, Monopoly. The callback line is potent. It states, "From Monopoly, the game trains you before it pays you."
How does a board game relate to the synchronization protocol?
Monopoly is fundamentally a system of artificial financial power, debt, and systemic obedience. It trains children to accept that the rules of debt and eviction are non-negotiable facts of life.
Long before they ever face real-world financial systems.
The reward isn't the skill, it's the superficial victory. Similarly, the New Year's ritual is a game designed to enforce obedience to the temporal cycle.
So we're trained to focus, to count down and to accept the new year as a given non-negotiable temporal boundary. We're conditioned to obey the calendar.
And the celebration is the psychological reward for successful participation in the sync. You feel great, you hug your friends, you pop the cork, that's the payment. But the true function, the enforcement of global temporal obedience, is hidden behind the veneer of fun.
It's highly efficient conditioning.
Because the participants enjoy the process.
And this efficiency, it leads directly to the Disney World Controlled Zone case file. This one details complex governance and hidden protocols. The callback. As in Disney World, control hides best in plain sight.
Disney World is a masterclass in organized, controlled fun.
Mm.
It manages millions of people daily using hidden pathways, proprietary rules, subtle psychological nudges, all masked by this overwhelming atmosphere of entertainment, tradition, and pure nonstop spectacle.
They guide your movements, manage your cues, they dictate your entire experience.
All while you believe you're simply having a magical time.
And the New Year's sync mirrors this on a global scale. It is the world's biggest, most joyful, and most tradition-laden show.
Which makes it the most effective cloak for an essential systemic function. If Project Janus sent out a memo saying, please focus intently on this crystal ball to stabilize time.
Compliance would be zero.
Non-existent. But by framing it as a party, they ensure universal, willing, and excited participation. The crowd effectively controls itself, happily adhering to the synchronization protocol.
Because the alternative, you know, explaining the whole simulation framework, is less palatable.
They use the power of cultural inertia to manage a critical operational transition.
So the countdown isn't just counting down to a cork popping. It's counting down to the moment we all voluntarily lock our reality processors together, ensuring the system can perform its massive annual update without crashing.
That is Project Janus's masterpiece.
Okay, so once the frame rate is locked and the new year is stabilized, the system, according to these sources, needs to clean up the residue from the previous cycle.
Yeah, this is where we move into the data management phase.
Which brings us to this astonishing claim about the traditional song, Auld Lang Syne.
Most people view the song as a melancholic reflection on remembering old friends, but the source claims its function is the exact opposite of remembering.
It's not about nostalgia.
It's about managed systemic forgetting.
The source states it's a literal memory wipe trigger. A trigger. And the critical function is to help participants forget the glitches of the last year.
Right, which implies the simulation is inherently imperfect. That 2025 generated errors, anomalies, and inconsistencies that have to be purged from the system archives before the new patched cycle can begin.
And the unified, emotional, reflective singing of the song. That's the sonic trigger for this mass data cleansing.
The collective performance of the song provides the bandwidth necessary for the wipe. It's this powerful cultural moment where everyone is agreeing to close the book on the past. But sheer closing the book means executing a clean deletion of error data.
And the systemic need for forgetting is verified, according to the source, by drawing connections to the Inspector Index cases that focus on erasure and deletion protocols.
Let's start with the real Wendy file, which deals with arrested time and hidden historical records.
What does that file tell us?
The real Wendy file details a systemic mechanism where certain historical or experiential records, records that contradict the current simulation parameters, are not destroyed, but they're frozen in time, made inaccessible.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Or arrested in their development.
So the life of real Wendy continues, but outside the public official narrative.
It's perpetually kept in a state of archived stasis. The callback is, as in real Wendy, records can freeze while lives keep moving.
I see the parallel.
Right.
So if the simulation is moving forward into 2026, the old year can't just be archived in a way that allows its instability to corrupt the present.
It has to be frozen, stabilized, sealed off.
And the memory wipe, triggered by the song, effectively freezes that previous year's record of glitches and instability. It arrests that particular time segment.
It makes the transition clean when we feel that sudden cognitive shift the next morning where the previous year feels incredibly distant. That's the physical systemic evidence of the temporal record being locked down and made read-only.
That is a deep level of data management. If this song didn't play, those small glitches, the inconsistencies we almost notice, the moments of temporal instability, they might carry forward.
And destabilize the New Year's framework. Which brings us to Klaus Richter, or Jaschotten, the erased soldier.
This case file deals with the complete retroactive deletion of an asset who became a liability to the system. A soldier who disappeared after being confined to the S-87 bunker.
Yes, and the specific finding of that investigation is key.
What was it?
The investigators discovered that the system's attempts to completely erase Richter's existence, they failed, partially. There's no record left, but the conspicuous absence, the empty file in the secure archive, was the evidence.
The system deletes the soldier, and the missing file is the only remaining trace of the complex deletion operation.
The callback is chilling. Like Klaus Richter, erasure becomes the evidence.
So the same mechanism applies here. The act of forgetting becomes the proof of the operation. If you can't consciously remember the minor system failures of 2025, that vague sense of temporal drift or the small anomalies, that successful lack of memory is the evidence that the protocol was effective.
The system deletes the glitch, and the erasure is designed to hide the system's own imperfections. The true evidence is what is conspicuously absent from our memory.
We remember the party, the joy, the kiss.
But the specific minor cognitive inconsistencies from the previous year, those have been purged.
But the memory of the celebration itself remains vibrant and positive, which seems very intentional.
Of course.
And this brings in the final analogy for this phase. Aladdin, or Adil Aladdin, focused on false fronts and bait. What's the link here?
The Aladdin file focused on the concept of the treasure cave, a glittering, overwhelming display designed to attract the participant.
Right.
The source material argues that any system that presents a massive reward is usually masking a cost or a trap underneath. The callback is potent. As Aladdin showed, the treasure is usually a trap.
So in this context, the treasured memory of the celebration, the high-energy emotional peak of midnight, the fireworks, the communal singing.
That's the trap.
It's the attractive distraction designed to occupy your consciousness.
Exactly. You're so focused on the perceived emotional reward of the celebration that you are completely blind to the systemic function occurring underneath. The music, the emotional swell, the collective feeling of hope. That is the bait.
So while you're emotionally invested in the trap,
the song performs its function as the memory wipe trigger, cleaning out the system errors unnoticed. It's a psychological sleight of hand on a global scale.
And it harnesses our strongest positive emotions, joy, anticipation, connection.
To execute its most critical and most coercive function, the management and deletion of personal experiential data.
It's ruthlessly efficient. They use our cultural traditions as system maintenance tools.
We've locked the frame rate. We have purged the error data. So now we move into the final stage of the input cycle.
And this one targets local consistency, the midnight kiss.
And here is where the source material gets really cynical. It strips all romance from this intimate act. It's not romance. It's cold, hard, localized data transfer.
The source calls it a biological near-field communication transfer.
Think about the physical proximity,
yeah.
The skin-to-skin contact, the exchange of breath, the intense focus on one single person right at the apex of the synchronization moment.
So it's a necessary peer-to-peer data exchange.
That ensures local consistency.
Wait, I need clarification on biological near-field communication transfer. Are we talking about, like, Wi-Fi for faces or something more fundamental? How does a kiss function as NFC?
The mechanism is described as utilizing residual energetic fields, biometric markers, and shared neural synchronization that was achieved through the collective countdown experience.
So it's less about information exchange in the traditional digital sense.
And more about programming calibration. If the previous steps stabilize the timeline globally, this step is about stabilizing the timeline locally, ensuring consistency right down to the individual environment.
A calibration check. And for what purpose?
The function is to ensure your programming matches the person standing next to you.
Okay.
If your consciousness is a freshly patched system running 2026 code, the person next to you must also be running the same code, or local inconsistencies will occur in your shared reality bubble.
So if you're running 2026 code and they're still running some 2025 residual code,
the physics and reality parameters between you might subtly diverge, leading to cognitive dissonance or confusion.
So if I were running a slightly earlier version of reality, maybe because I was distracted during the countdown, and the person I kiss is fully synced to the new patch.
That kiss ensures you both move forward with the identical new programming parameters for your immediate environment.
It's a rapid, required compatibility check for the new reality settings.
It guarantees local consistency, preventing micro-desynchronization in intimate environments. It's a brilliant, if utterly cynical, exploitation of a deeply ingrained cultural ritual.
The most vulnerable and intimate moment is actually a cold, hard system transfer.
I guess your New Year's kiss wasn't romance. It was just you upgrading your firmware.
I am never looking at mistletoe the same way again. And once that massive data transfer is complete, we get the inevitable consequence the next morning, the fog.
Mm-hmm.
The classic New Year's Day feeling of utter exhaustion, slowness, cognitive sluggishness. The source argues this is not a hangover, even if we were drinking.
It is described as download latency. You wake up feeling fuzzy and tired because your biological hardware, your consciousness, and your central nervous system has been running a massive synchronization and patching sequence all night long.
So the energy expenditure.
Required to participate in the sync protocol, receive the new frame rate data, and process the memory wipe is enormous.
It's like waking up and your operating system is still running at 5% capacity because it just finished an overnight security patch.
A sluggish system reboot.
We're downloading the full complex reality file for the next year.
The consciousness is slow because it's digesting a massive influx of new parameters, new boundaries, new cultural mandates, the stabilized physics framework for the year ahead. Your physical tiredness is simply the processing bottleneck of your biological system dealing with the complexity of a reality patch.
And this concept of being overwhelmed by the system's parameters, it connects perfectly to the final set of case files.
The ones illustrating the experience of being part of a larger, overwhelming system that requires submission.
Let's start with real-life Mario, Marco Bellini, a case dealing with delusion and urban myth.
The Marco Bellini file documents an individual who became so deeply immersed in the belief that his life was a video game that he began living according to its rules.
Chasing invisible power-ups, avoiding imaginary pitfalls.
And focusing obsessively on the ritual of the chase, even if the end goal, the castle, was unobtainable.
The callback is, like Mario, chasing the castle changes the player first.
Bellini represents the willing participant engaging in an elaborate, often absurd ritual. The act of participation in the sync, the focus, the countdown, the emotional investment, it fundamentally changes the participant.
So you're subtly modified and prepared for the next cycle, whether you consciously understand the ultimate objective or not.
The ritual itself is the transformative mechanism that prepares you for the new patch. You don't have to win the game, you just have to play it correctly.
And playing correctly means participating in the sync protocol.
Then we have Luke Skywalker, or Luang Saimung, and the theme of forbidden tech, of artifacts remaining after erasure.
This file is about the physical remnants of an event that outlived the memory of the person who experienced it.
The Luang Saimung file documents a system failure involving powerful, unstable technology. The wielder vanished, or was purged, but the residual energy from the device, the weapon, remained as a detectable, tangible anomaly.
And the callback is, as with Luke Skywalker Luang, the weapon is a witness.
The memory of the glitch, the system failure, is wiped by Auld Lang Syne.
But the evidence of the systemic operation remains.
The heavy air we started with at midnight, the sudden overwhelming tiredness, the next day fog. These are the artifacts. The residual witnesses to the massive data transfer that just took place.
The residual data spikes left in the system's infrastructure.
They testify that something momentous, something systemic, occurred at that precise moment of synchronization. Even if our conscious mind can't recall the glitches, thanks to the memory wipe.
The physical experience of download latency remains as proof that the new programming was successfully installed.
The physical feeling is the system's signature.
And finally, Buzz Lightyear Russell Kearney. This one focuses on artifacts outliving their makers and achieving functional independence.
The Kearney file documents how complex integrated objects artifacts can persist and continue to execute their programmed function long after the original intent or even the creators of the object have vanished.
The system that gave rise to the function is gone, but the tool remains.
The callback. Echoing Buzz Lightyear, artifacts outlive their makers.
This is the ultimate synthesis of the entire operation. The synchronization protocol persists because the ritual itself has become the artifact.
The mechanisms, the crystal ball, the song, the kiss ritual will continue to function year after year, driven by cultural inertia, long after Project Janus's original purpose is consciously known or even if the agency itself dissolved.
Well, the tradition has become self-sustaining.
It ensures the system check runs annually without fail, purely through cultural expectation and repetition. The protocol is woven so deep into our social fabric that we ensure its continuation through tradition, guaranteeing the reality frame rate lock for centuries to come.
It's an incredibly resilient design
that exploits human custom for systemic stability.
So if we synthesize this entire paranoid yet meticulously detailed protocol, the causal chain becomes chillingly clear. It moves from emotional expectation to cold, hard system transfer.
The heavy air is the immediate pressure of the system initializing the render cycle transition. The final 10-second countdown is the trigger, harnessing mass, focused human attention as the power source.
The time score ball is the temporal anchor, the crucial piece of hardware locking the simulation down for the frame rate transition from 2025 to 2026.
The enthusiastic communal singing of Auld Lang Syne is the erasure trigger, the memory wipe that clears out the systemic glitches, errors, and instabilities of the old year.
The midnight kiss, stripped of all romance, is the biological near-field communication transfer, ensuring local programming consistency and preventing micro-desynchronization between adjacent participants.
And if you wake up the next morning feeling like your brain is stuffed with cotton, struggling to recall details from last month, that isn't a consequence of partying. That is pure download latency.
The consciousness is rebooting with the new parameters.
And the chilling final line, delivered cold by the source material itself. Welcome to 2026. The patch is complete.
It fundamentally reframes what we think of as the world's most widespread global celebration.
It strips away the emotional and historical layer and reveals a mandatory, necessary layer of annual system maintenance. It's a compulsory operation masked by spectacle.
The synchronization protocol runs perfectly every year, masked by fireworks and joy, requiring our collective participation to ensure the stability of the entire reality framework. It forces us to consider that the annual New Year celebration is the most public, complex, and celebratory system check ever devised.
If that is true, what other rituals or common traditions might hide similar underlying systemic functions, demanding our attention and compliance without ever revealing their true underlying purpose? Think about that the next time you toast to the new year.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.